Hello and welcome to Spotlight on Asia on Radio France International. I'm Roslyn Hyams. The Indian Supreme Court ruling on Thursday, which overturned Section 377, a law prohibiting homosexuality and dating back 150 years to the British colonial era, elated the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual, intersexual community in the country, a community which represents potentially millions of people. As well as suffering homophobia and discrimination in many forms and situations, LGBT people have been living under the threat of jail if caught having sex, even if those involved agree and have reached the age of consent. So they were also celebrating, quite simply, their sexual freedom. India is not the only country in the world still living with laws introduced in a different era. In the Commonwealth countries, former British colonies, consensual homosexual sex is legal in 18 countries, but illegal in 35 out of the 53. In Malaysia, for example, the maximum penalty is 20 years in prison. In Pakistan and Bangladesh, it's life imprisonment. The fittingly named and recently established Human Dignity Trust is an organisation of international lawyers based in London providing technical legal support to people who want to challenge such old laws in court. Thea Braun is the director of the trust.
There are cases like this that have been brought and are continuing to be brought around the world. Really, the first piece of litigation on this issue was in the early 80s. India represents something monumental, though, in the grand scheme, because India is so significant as a country in general, with a fifth of the population, as a leading member of the Commonwealth, and the importance of the Indian Supreme Court. This is a decision that, even more so than all other decisions, will reverberate around the world. But there are ongoing cases in places like Kenya, Belize, Jamaica, Trinidad and Tobago. Ultimately, what should happen is that the legislatures in these countries should repeal the laws. They shouldn't require people to go to court to challenge the laws. This is something that Parliament should be taking care of and getting rid of these laws, because they don't comply with any of the national constitutions or international obligations that all of these countries have signed up to. And all of these countries now have contemporary constitutions that have bills of rights, which include, as in India, rights to dignity and equality and non-discrimination and privacy and many other rights. So it really should be the legislature. In some countries, such as Mozambique, the Seychelles, Palau, Nauru, the legislature has repealed these laws. So we are seeing some countries voluntarily repealing these laws, but where they won't, and if they don't, it's typically because often not politically expedient to, where there's still a lot of misunderstanding and misinformation about LGBT people and sexual orientation generally. And in those places, politicians often don't have the courage, frankly, to do the right thing. And where they don't, that's where the courts come in to fill the gap, because the Constitution, which the courts are the guardians of, does protect all citizens. And so they need to have access to the courts where politicians aren't stepping up.
You're listening to Spotlight on Asia on RFI with me, Roslyn Hyams. While LGBTs and non-LGBTs alike may be hailing the potentially life-changing repeal of Section 377, a Delhi court ruling in the same direction was booted out by the Supreme Court in 2013 after a counter-petition from some conservative Christian, Hindu and Muslim groups for whom homosexuality should remain a punishable crime. The Naz and Matt Foundation is an NGO campaigning against homophobia set up after Naz, a doctor from a South Asian family in the UK, committed suicide. Naz and Matt had been together as a couple for 13 years when it happened, and it's believed that pressure from Naz's family after he revealed his sexuality to them led to his death. Matt Ogston.
What I'm hoping to see is that it will send out a positive message to parents who are struggling to understand and accept their gay or lesbian children. And really, what we have to realise is that sexuality, human sexuality, has been around since humans started living on this earth. When you really look at it, it's not actually the religion that's causing the problem. It's actually the individual's interpretation of their religion that's causing the problem. And if it's that person's interpretation that's causing that problem, then hopefully that ruling coming out of India will actually help persuade parents that actually they do have a choice. And the choice they have is to accept their children for the way they were born.
Also in the UK, Dharam Singh helps run the Sarbat Sikh LGBT Support and Promotion Group in London, which is currently running a survey online, www.sarbat.net, to help move on LGBT-related issues in the UK or in India and in the Sikh community in all countries. In one of India's traditional religions with about 20 million practicing and with about 400,000 more Sikhs living in the UK, the biggest Sikh population in Europe, Sikh scriptures, says Singh, do not have issues with homosexuality. He adds that local traditions have, however, tainted opinion towards LGBTs.
The Sikh belief does accept homosexuality as being natural. The universal goal of a Sikh is to have no hate or animosity to any person, regardless of factors such as race, caste, gender, colour, creed, or sexuality. Equality is a cornerstone to our identity. And as with everywhere in the world, discussions around same-sex relationships have become all the more pertinent to society. But the Sikh faith doesn't explicitly reject homosexuality. The Guru Granth Sahib, which is a holy book for the Sikhs, does not mention homosexuality. And the 10 living gurus, whose words are the philosophy of Sikhism is based on, they were aware of homosexuality at the time when the Guru Granth Sahib was being compiled, as there were a number of openly gay saints during the 16th and 17th century Indian subcontinent. The primary function of our faith is to unite the individual soul, which is genderless, with the supreme soul, which is also genderless. The Sikh faith is completely fine with you being gay or not. Sikh people, most of them, come from the Punjabi culture, which is more patriarchal in nature, is more agrarian based. That is where the homophobia comes from, the culture, not the Sikh faith. The Sikh faith, Guru Granth Sahib, is completely fine because it understands we're all part of humanity. We are not unnatural. But most of the Sikhs are Punjabis. And I know there are lots of grey areas between the Sikh faith and the Punjabi culture, and they tend to mingle the two. And that's where the issues come.
Singh is convinced that in general, the Indian Supreme Court ruling will have a huge impact across the world.
The ruling will have a major impact across the world, not only in India, but in the Indian diaspora communities. It will encourage more gay people to come out. People holding homophobic views based on what they say as religion or culture will no longer be able to use the Section 377 as an excuse to hold such views. This has happened a lot in the past. It will definitely have an impact on the Indian community in the UK, as it means that the subject being LGBT will be on the agenda and families across the country will be discussing it. This is a very important thing, as the subject is still very much taboo among Indian families, even in British society. The ruling will bring this debate to the forefront.
Even families who have been in the UK for generations now?
I would say yes, depending on the society, the community they reside in. Some of them are not as quote-unquote westernised as their other peers who live in other cities. So there are lots of closed communities of Indians living in the UK and across Europe. It happens in many, many migrant communities across the Western world, I'd say. So yeah, definitely have an impact.
Besides being a tremendous human rights triumph, the Section 377 case in the Indian Supreme Court has generated lively and controversial public debate and has brought to the fore the notion of changing the law to allow every citizen to marry whom they choose and to enjoy all spousal rights, whether a same-sex or an opposite-sex spouse. Although the Indian government seems to have ruled that out for the time being. Well, that's all we have time for this week in Spotlight on Asia. Thank you for listening. Until next time, from me, Roslyn Hyams. Goodbye.